Good morning, everyone. This is Callie Annette with KFUO Radio, and it's time for Daily Chapel. Today, we follow the order of responsive prayer 2 on page 285 in the Lutheran Service Book. The hymn is number 713, From God Can Nothing Move Me. The text is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through verse 24a. The Reverend Phil Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For your life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our meditation is Luke 12, the reading I shared with you a moment ago. In verse 23, we heard Jesus say, "For life is more than food and the body more than clothing." In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If your life is not full of enough anxiety yet this morning, here's one more thing to add to your worry list. Did you know that the sun only has enough hydrogen fuel in it to continue burning for another 5 billion years? It's gonna run out. Let's panic. Let's go do something about that. Oh, and if you're like, "Well, 5 billion, maybe I'm good with that. Maybe I don't need to worry about that." Well, by the time another 1 billion years passes, enough of the hydrogen will be spent. It's not like there's hydrogen and then it disappears. It just generally gets used up, sort of like a fuel tank in your car. By the time another 1 billion years passes by, so the scientists say, the luminosity, that's a word you haven't used every day, right? But the luminosity of the sun is going to increase by 10%, which means that by the time 1 billion years comes by, the earth with all the seas will all boil up and all the earth will be burned up. And so you better start worrying now about that 1 billion year burning up of the earth. You worried? 1 billion years. It's pretty easy to put that off, isn't it? Say, even my grandkids don't need to worry about 1 billion years, right? And so I'll just sort of forget about that and not be too worried about it. But the truth of the matter is that maybe even before we exit this room this morning, Jesus could come back. I'm always convinced from the reading of Scripture that Jesus' return will come at the exact moment when the last person comes to faith, who will ever come to faith. A little inside story here in my perception about life. Every time I was baptizing another little one, I was like, "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." I guess there's more. Have to wait a little bit longer yet. But he could come back today. And do our lives live with that perception of today could be the end? If so, why in the world would I work on a task that has a due date 3 weeks from now if 3 weeks from now might not ever last? That was my motto back when I was in college and seminary. You know, that paper, I'll get to it. If I write it now and Jesus comes back tomorrow, I wasted my time. It's an interesting perspective to start applying that, to say this world and its present existence is not permanent. But then we start easily falling back into the same habit like we would with, oh, the earth's going to burn up a billion years from now because of the sun. We start saying, well, Jesus promised 2,000 years ago when he ascended that he would return, and now it's been 2,000 plus years since that happened, so maybe I really don't expect that to happen during my lifetime. Or even if I sort of naggingly know it in the back of my mind, I'm going to try to ignore it and live as if the only thing that matters is what I am applying myself to today. Whether that's something fun that I'm thinking about trying to plan, or whether that be some of the stressful, annoying things that go along with our vocations. We allow ourselves to begin thinking that the only thing that matters are those things that are all so very temporary. That takes us to our text for today, where there's this unnamed guy. If you're ever looking for an evidence of grace in the Bible, here's one of those. It didn't name the guy who asked Jesus this question, because that would have been embarrassing for him, right? But Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God. I would love to sit and listen to Jesus preach all day long. And what's this guy worried about? Teacher, make my brother share my share of the inheritance with me. Think about that. Here's this guy who is, let's just guess, but maybe somewhere in his 20s or 30s, average life expectancy in Jesus' day is in his 50s. So he is all twisted around getting his inheritance that's going to maybe last him another 20 or 30 years. All the while, not being very excited about the opportunity, the privilege of being able to listen to Jesus in that moment. And the response of Jesus to this young man is to say, well, who made me the judge or the divider between me and, or between you and him? Who made me that person? Now, there may be a side of us that says, well, Jesus, you created all things. All things truly, really belong to you. So don't you have a stake in this? Aren't you sort of involved in this? So then Jesus tells us the parable of the rich fool. In his life, in his work, his vocation as a farmer, this rich fool had been truly blessed, so much so that his land had produced a crop. It's interesting the wording Jesus used. It didn't say this farmer produced a crop. His land produced a crop. Where'd the land come from? God created it. How did that land produce that crop? As God bestowed that gift. But now this rich fool had a problem. Too much crop, too few barns to hold it in. Now think about it. I've always thought about this with this parable. Those barns that this rich fool had always been sufficient in years prior, hadn't they? They'd always gotten him through. Give us this day our daily bread. They provided that. He had been sustained through his life. Those existing barns had been enough. But now, suddenly, in the abundance of a blessing, in this superabundant crop year, all this guy could be consumed by was, how do I hold on to this stuff? What was used to be sufficient is no longer sufficient for me. How can I get focused on raising my bar and making this so much more that I become richer and richer? His life changed in that moment. maybe already had been that way, but certainly expressed it in this moment, of claiming personal ownership. And that will always tug us down the wrong direction in life. Claiming personal ownership of our time, our abilities, or even the financial or physical blessings that God has given us in our life. I don't really own them, I just manage them, right? We know that truth. But this guy says, I have nowhere to store my goods. I'll build bigger barns and store all my grain and all my goods. And then he speaks to himself and says, you have ample laid up for yourself for many years, so eat, drink, and be merry. A little side story on the eat, drink, and be merry. When I was a little toddler, little kid, Dairy Queen used that as an advertisement. Eat, drink, and be merry. It was a little tune that went along with it. My mom was so mad. She's just, you know, still can feel that today, all these years later. As if eat, drink, and be merry is a good thing. When here, it's really simply expressing that this guy is all wrapped up in what he could say is mine, my stuff, all to the ignoring of the opportunities that abundance really was providing him. When he had way more than he had ever imagined needing before, the opportunity on a silver platter was there to say, so who are you going to help? But all he could be focused on was, I want to eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, how easy it is, right? So, so easy to get caught up in the temporary. Maybe you don't worry about the sun burning out, but you do worry about those deadlines for the projects that you have weighing over your heads. You do worry about what's going to happen with your kids, your grandkids as they're growing up. You do worry about what's going to be the incredible impact of tariffs on my life economically. And the reality is that the answers to all those questions I was just sharing, the answers are the impact on my life is all going to be temporary and not permanent. Fortunately, Jesus has given us the answer to all that folly, all that foolishness. And it's all wrapped up in what Jesus did for us on the cross. As Jesus died and rose again, not only to give us forgiveness of sins, it certainly is that, but it's also dying and rising again so that he could give us resurrection from the dead, the ultimate enemy, and that he could give us a permanent inheritance in what the Bible calls the new creation. Not this one. I even hear fellow Christians getting wrapped up saying, wow, all this continues. Might get reformed a little bit when Jesus comes back. The Bible's pretty clear about it. It all gets wiped away. Why would I be so wrapped up in what's temporary? I want to be focused on what is eternal, the new heavens and the new earth. That's what God calls us to. And there's such a peace that comes for us as we anticipate what it will be like to bask in that wonderful eternal life where we can throw our watches away and simply live in the grace and the blessing that God gives us. That new inheritance is already breaking through into our lives, already being given to us through word and sacrament. It's Jesus. Peter, in his first epistle, describes it this way: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance, listen to these words, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's our inheritance. Anything else is an imposter. In that inheritance, I think, in the new heavens and the new earth, I'm not going to need an estate planner. My whole team's job goes away. We won't be doing gift planning in that new heavens and new earth and having to figure out how to pass over those blessings to the next generation, because we won't die anymore. We won't have to worry about whether we are getting our fair share. You do know that fairs are in August, right? The rest of the year, we shouldn't talk about fair. Jesus gives us everything in his kingdom, and that's not fair. That's called grace. That inheritance, measured only by Jesus himself, is perfect. And in that inheritance, we will no longer measure ourselves by the abundance of things that we want to call our possessions, but we will measure ourselves only by God's love and grace given us in Jesus. And we will enjoy that endless opportunity to constantly and consistently love each other and be loved perfectly, even as he loves us. How much fun will that be? Can you imagine the joy and the peace of simply living a day no longer about gathering, holding, protecting, keeping away, guarding, but instead simply enjoying what God has created so that we may love each other and praise the God who has brought us into that life? No longer will we be consumed by the things that last only a few years, but we will be living the life that is only best described by the word eternity, in the presence of God, delivered by Jesus. And knowing that, then, we take a look at our full barns today, and we see the opportunities that are there to reach ourselves out in acts of care and service and love to our neighbor, and realize that all of those simply give us the opportunity for what explains, what makes sense out of why we're here today, and that is to reflect the life of Jesus Christ, so that through the power of the gospel, the Spirit might convert others, so that they too may share in that same treasure, that same inheritance. We have the greatest inheritance of all, and that's Jesus. And in that treasure, gone is the anxiety. Gone is the worry. But we have peace in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.